This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
My name is Brenda, and I'm currently a BSW student completing my placement at DCO. To start off this new season on Hope, I will be joined by my co-host Caitlin, who is a program coordinator with DCO. In this week's episode, we interview a few staff from the Delton Glebe Counseling Center as they each give us their perspective on Hope. Thank you guys all for taking time out of your day to come and talk to us about Hope and COVID. But before we start, we're just going to get into introductions. So I'm Brenda, and I'm going to be your host for today, and I'm also co-hosting with Caitlin. I'm a BSW student at the University of Waterloo, and I'm completing my placement at DCO and at the Glebe Center.
I'm Caitlin, co-hosting with Brenda today, program coordinator at Distress and Crisis Ontario, which is a relatively new position for me, so I'm still learning a little bit.
I'm Elma. I am the intake coordinator at the Delton Glebe Counseling Center.
I'm Arielle, and I am an art therapist with the Delton Glebe, as well as a few other agencies in the community.
And I'm Brad, and I've been at Delton Glebe for about 3 years, a little longer, and I'm a registered psychotherapist.
Nice. Nice to meet you all. What's your definition of hope?
For me, it is about connecting with your sense of optimism, the expectation that something good will happen. The sometimes it's about trust. It can include ideas about faith, but it really boils down to positive expectation.
Yeah, mine's much the same. Hope to me is not necessarily based in a realistic assessment of what's going on. Sometimes hope is just a very strong internal sense. For some people, it might be a sense of peace. It could be optimism. It might be faith related. Incredibly hard to define, but genuine when you're experiencing it. You know when you feel hopeless, but you also know when you feel hopeful. So sometimes it's easier to define in its absence, because that is much more uncomfortable to experience, I think, than being hopeful. So yeah, again, it's really hard to put a textbook definition on it, but it's that sense of peace, optimism, the idea that things are going to get better.
Yeah, I agree with both Elma and Brad. I think really it's quite an abstract emotion and sense within ourselves, right? And so to be able to define it can be a little tricky. For myself, I think it's kind of that idea again of having a sense or belief that things in the end, you know, will be okay, that there's going to be some sort of silver lining or positive kind of outcome. At some point, right? It might not be right away, but down that line, we can kind of see that glimmer, that things will be okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Alma, you kind of touched on this already, but how might hope look different from one person to another?
I think it depends on your faith perspective sometimes. Age can be really different, too. Youthful optimism can sometimes also be very hopeful. To me, it is different for every person. what I might be hopeful about. Another person might look at me and say I'm being foolish and naive or unrealistic or I'm avoiding reality. But sometimes people have a basis in hope that is really hard to articulate to someone else. But in the meantime, being around somebody who is hopeful can be contagious. Even though you might not understand what they're hopeful about, just being around them is something that you can benefit from.
Brad or Ariel, anything to add to that?
I think that's great. I totally agree with Elma. I think there's a matter of perspective. Hope can be different for each of us in terms of how we assess a situation or what we hope will be coming. As a therapist, I talk to my clients a lot about setting goals and expectations and kind of hoping that things will happen is certainly part of it because it speaks to our motivation, but I think we need to be, I tell people, we need to be ruthlessly honest and relentlessly optimistic. Both. And if you're not hopeful, if you're not optimistic, then a lot of times we can lose our sense of direction, feel discouraged, lose motivation. We also have to be honest enough to be real. We have to keep ourselves connected, keep our feet on the ground. But hope is the magic sauce that keeps us moving.
Yeah, I would agree with Brad and Elma again. I think too, it's, you know, I think we can all say we've all, you know, hopefully felt hope at some point in our life. We all have had that emotional experience, but like any emotion, it's really very unique, right? It's unique to the person at the time and the circumstance, and the way you feel hope or lean on it in one situation might be quite different to another, depending on, you know, maybe your age, the phase of your life that you're in, or the situation that you're kind of faced with, right? I think a lot of people, even right now with this, within this, you know, this realm of the pandemic, are having to lean on or kind of explore their feelings of hope in a really different way that maybe we haven't before. And even doing that within, you know, a community setting as a whole, while we're all kind of in it together, but also separately.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And Brad, do you think hope is enough to get us through the pandemic? Why or why not? What other factors do you think need to exist alongside hope?
Great question. I think hope is necessary but not sufficient. Without hope, then, as I was saying a moment ago, people start to lose faith, lose desire. We need persistence. We need resilience. We need people who are hopeful but also willing to do the work that it takes. And I'm being deliberately abstract because that has a different application for each of us. But it's not enough to just sit on your couch and hope that one day you'll run a marathon. You got to get up. You got to get moving. Mm-hmm. You got to start your 1,000-mile journey with your first step. And so hope is part of that. But to that, you have to add the work.
Alma, do you have anything to add?
No, I think that's true. Like we could even hope to... we hope that COVID goes away, but we also need to take up responsibility for our role, you know, which means you follow the public health guidelines. You do your best to not add to the problem anyway, but hope is the basis that would motivate you perhaps to cooperate or to get educated or to make your decisions in context. But yeah, hope is the starting point for the choices that you make from there. I think the more hopeful you are, the more engaged you are in making the right choices to follow that.
And Ariel?
Yeah, I would agree again with Brad and Alma around you know, the idea that hope is really, really important, but it's not everything, right? It's not enough necessarily to get us through. I would say on an individual level, right, we would want to take care of ourselves, make sure that we're getting, you know, the right amount of sleep, the right nutrition, getting physical exercise, taking care of ourselves emotionally and socially. Also, you know, seeking out spiritual supports if that's something that is important to us, and also seeking out, you know, professional help when needed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our idea of hope might not just be enough on our own, and we do need to, you know, reach out for some additional help. And I would say too that it's not only up to us, it's, you know, we really need the appropriate supports of our government and our legislature to make sure that, you know, the individuals in our community have the support that they need to kind of meet those basic needs. So, you know, that's including mental health and housing and healthcare and all of that stuff as well.
So Ariel, that leads very nicely into our next question about how people can be cultivating hope during a pandemic. You gave a lot of really good examples in that, and you touched on spirituality. And I guess my question kind of off of that is, yeah, how much of a benefit having some form of spirituality is when it comes to being hopeful, and how those who don't hold to any form of spirituality can maybe, yeah, still find the same kind of hope as those who do.
Okay, sorry, you cut out a little bit there. Okay, I just wanted to hear the question one more time, and then if you wanted me to answer right away.
Sure. Basically, do people who don't hold to any form of spirituality have a different way to fill that maybe gap when it comes to cultivating hope?
Oh, yeah. So I think for myself, you know, the idea of spirituality, it really helps us to connect to something that is, you know, that is greater than ourselves, right? It connects us to something outside of ourselves in our own experience, which I think is so important. And when you think about hope, you know, it's again that trust in something else almost, right? That trust that those pieces are unknown, or there isn't necessarily a concrete answer or direction, that we know that if we put the work in and that we think moving forward, there's optimism and there's possibility, right? So I think those two pieces kind of align really nicely together, that a practice of spirituality and practice of hope are maybe quite close to each other. I would say that somebody who, you know, has, you know, practice of spirituality, they're using those resources on a regular basis, and incorporating them in their daily lives. And so, you know, when we do have those types of practices on a regular basis, it's easier to access them in moments of strife or difficulty. So I think, you know, when it comes to hope as well, like if we're able to implement that regularly and kind of build those muscles of optimism and then motivation, then it kind of, yeah, it's a kind of deeper one, if that makes sense.
Any questions?
I'm just going to add in there, in terms of hope in context of spirituality or someone who doesn't hold to a spirituality, I find that for many people, activism is a form of hope in action. So, you know, they hope for a change. They hope for, in context of the pandemic or any context of life, even apart from a spirituality role or model or basis, you can have a deep sense of hope that equals activism, where you get out and you do the things. And, you know, I know it, sometimes I will marvel at the level that some people will go to, you know, to confront environmental crisis, you know, social justice issues, animal rights, something that they get specifically passionate about. It, that's often rooted in hope. And it's demonstrated in activism. So spirituality, very much the context is there, the practices are there, the mindfulness, all, you know, many, many spiritual practices incorporate hope. But apart from spirituality, I still think there's a lot of ways out there to take hope and embrace it, give it a framework, and move forward with it.
There's a lot of important about what you said, and I'm probably not going to be able to grab onto all of it, but I was really struck by the piece there about, it's about connection, that's what I'm hearing. I'm probably superimposing a little bit of my own ideas here, but hope and spirituality are tightly connected to each other, connected to the idea of a sense of purpose. And not everyone has a strong spiritual life. Certainly not a lot of people are religious specifically. But everyone wants a sense of purpose. And so we're all looking for that. And some people have a better handle on that, a better grasp, a better connection to their meaning in life than others. Hope is crucial to all of us, and the role of spirituality can certainly support that. But as I think about what each of you are saying and just sort of how hope fits into all of this, and of course, how do we have hope through a pandemic? It's about staying connected to ourselves and to the people we care about and to the idea of a better future and a purpose going forward, so that someday, like the hope is that someday the pandemic's over. And so right now we're trying to not give up, even though we're all cold in the dark and the worst part of winter. And so we're hoping for something better that is not yet here, that is still to come. And so that's where spirituality can have an important role, but mostly it's about staying connected to that sense of purpose and that meaning that we're building towards.
Nice. Those are all really powerful answers. So far what I've been hearing is that hope helps us get through challenges and it gives us a sense of purpose. But what are the other benefits/importance of hope on our well-being? I'll hand that question over to Alma.
The benefits of hope on our well-being. Well, first of all, it's the state of mind. It helps keep stress and anxiety. It doesn't eliminate it, but it's a starting place to start to address it. You know, when the negative and the worrisome stuff is there, hope is that voice that says it's not always going to be like this. It's going to change. It's going to get better. Hope can be shared. The best kind of hope is contagious. You know, so that if I can be particularly hopeful one day around somebody who's not hope, yeah, here, we use that term, hopefully I can help them. You know, and in the support professions, the caring professions, you know, as counselors, if we can approach our work with a foundation of hope, that gives us something to build on with ourselves, with our coworkers, with clients. So, yeah, it's the starting point for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Ariella or Brad, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Alma talked a lot about, I think, some of those really crucial pieces of, you know, the importance and the benefits. For me, I think it kind of, I see it almost as a soothing balm, right? It's like, this kind of soothing kind of balm where you're putting on something that's uncomfortable or difficult, and it's not going to make it go away necessarily, but it just helps ease. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes hope can be a really significant source of strength, right? When we feel like we are losing motivation or we just can't, you know, get ourselves going right away, kind of finding that source of hope can be a tremendous amount of, can bring us in a, like a really big chance, or sorry, I'm gonna rewind that, but can be a really important source of strength for moving forward.
That's really true. There's a lot of research on this, on happiness, on positive psychology, on mindset, on hope. Just briefly, people who are optimistic live longer, and there's a lot of reasons, and there's some confounds in the data, but the basic idea here is that people who are optimistic and hopeful tend to take better care of themselves. They tend to be more proactive. They tend to form better relationships. Hope is an analgesic, and I mean that literally. People who haven't who are optimistic, who are hopeful, tend to experience pain differently, and they're able to tolerate it better. And so these are all important benefits.
So we've touched a lot on how hope is contagious, like Alma has said, and how it is important for connections, and it's important for sharing with others. So how can we find comfort with others while we're all in this time of isolation and disconnect and not necessarily being able to have those forms of connection that we're used to? Brad, I'll maybe let you step in on this one first.
It's tough. I don't have a great answer yet. I'm looking forward to hearing what Elma and Ariel say, but we just have to try to stay connected as much as we can. We have to check in with each other, right? It was Let's Talk Day yesterday, and they put a lot of good media, I'll say, and a lot of it is just based on the idea of, hey, how you doing? Like, send a text, call. Nobody calls anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. I know I'm old, but I still like phone calls. And if not, you can reach out in lots of different ways. People are doing watch parties. People are just having, you know, family meetings. My family, this is sort of funny and sort of embarrassing. We have four kids, and for the first time, I think ever, we took a walk together all at the same time. It had aspects of a forced march, but it was officially a walk. And turned out we enjoyed it. And so that's not something we would have done normally. This was in December before it was brutally cold. It was only sort of cold. But you just gotta find ways to change things up and to be creative and to stay connected to the people that hopefully, if you're living alone, it's extra hard. But we're all isolated together for the most part with your family or your roommates or whoever your person is. And so focus on what's in front of you and do your best to stay connected to the people you care about that you can't see in person.
Yeah, I would say, you know, like small efforts to just check in on a regular basis are so important, right? That can be, it's something like as simple as a text message or sending, you know, just a picture of something that you're finding lovely that day, like the sun shining, right, to a friend that you think could maybe use a hello or a family member that you just want to be reaching out to. It's things like setting a regular time to have a phone call. You might have, you know, done a coffee date with a friend or a family member or somebody, but now it's like, hey, you can't maybe do it in person, but why not do that over the phone where you both have your cup of tea or your coffee that morning and you have it kind of some time set aside. I think reminders too can be really helpful because we can, you know, get stuck in the monotony of every day and feeling like, you know, I don't have anything new to say. I know that's a big thing lately, especially with this new lockdown, as I'm talking to people, they're like, I don't have anything new to say. There's nothing to report, right? But it doesn't mean we don't need connection. So, you know, setting reminders on your phone maybe to say, you know, reach out to this person this day, or going through your roster of friends or family and making sure you're connecting with them, you know, maybe just a few of them every week, and then you're kind of reaching out to everybody. I've also done, you know, just sending out cards in the mail. It's something very simple but really fun that, you know, anybody can kind of really partake in, and you can send art, you can just send a poem, you can send pictures, you can just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. But I know for myself, when I get to check the mail, which is like an event now because we're not really going anywhere, it can be really nice to get a, you know, a letter in the mail with somebody you know was just, you know, wanting to say hello, and it's just a thinking of you.
I realize that, Arielle. There is something about getting something in the mail that's exciting. It's weird. So much of what you and Brad said, I agree with. And again, a lot of people have stepped up for this. If we look at something simple like the library on their websites, they've got one book that everybody can read, and everyone can read the same book and become part of book clubs online or by phone, and talk about the books that they're reading. Canada Reads is happening. There's these different virtual walks that people can do, the equivalent of, you know, hiking some kind of remote trail, but they do it online. People are playing chess and checkers against strangers, you know, online. There's just a lot of different ways. But again, for the person who's in isolation alone, it has to be some days a really overwhelming sense. You know, and then I think it's the things like Brad says, you pick up the phone. And it's really important, I think, for people to call and ask for help. You know, in my role at the agency that I work at, the intake coordinators, they're sometimes on the first point of contact that people have made. And they almost sound like they are embarrassed about needing help.
And my first breath sometimes is normalizing it for them. You know, that you're not alone. Our phone is ringing all the time. It's okay to be lonely. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. And yay for you for telling me. You know, and then we take the next step and lead into a connection. But it's really okay to stand up and say, I'm lonely. I'm feeling hopeless. I'm feeling overwhelmed. And then pick up the phone. And, you know, there's some amazing resources out there. Call here 24/7, you know, call the Delta Queen, call the Stress and Crisis Ontario. There's so many people there that have, you know, set up programs and opportunities that you just need to be willing to ask.
Yeah, there are a lot of people going through a lot of hard times, and when you're hearing the news, it's so easy to feel down about it all. But with that being said, do you guys have any stories about hope during the pandemic to share?
Come on, Elma. You've had a pretty hopeful event in your family during the pandemic.
Yes. Oh, we got a puppy. There we go.
Oh, yeah, that
too. Yes. Okay, so for myself personally, the arrival of a new grandchild, of course, that's a generator of hope. And even as I speak to you now, I can hear him in the background exercising his lungs. Babies equal hope. We're also one of those families that did the pandemic puppy. Seemed like a really good idea at the time, but he's hitting the year now. But, you know, honestly, a puppy, you know, puppies, kittens. And then speaking in my role as an intake coordinator, I've had the distinct pleasure interacting with clients day after day after they've had the connection with the therapist. You know, and they'll call, and week by week they're saying, I'm feeling so much better. I know I'm not alone in this. You know, what so-and-so suggested to me was really, really helped. You know, to get that positive feedback and people visibly brightening up and the tone of their voice changes, just a little bit of support goes a long way. And another thing, I had a lovely encounter in a Shoppers Drug Mart. Standing in line, we do a lot of standing in line lately. And I very intentionally made eye contact with the lady in front of me because normally I'd smile, but the masks are making it really hard. You can kind of see a smile in the eyes, though. And she just blossomed. And she was so excited. She had not been out of her house in 6 weeks. And she was thrilled to be standing in line. And the fact that I made eye contact and tried to smile gave her license to talk to me. And oh my word, she was so happy to have someone to talk to because she had been alone with her dog for weeks and weeks and weeks, and this was her first day braving the public, doing what she needed to do, and just making that eye contact and taking the moment to talk with her. She was absolutely thrilled. So I think we have to be a bit more intentional when we are out there, standing in those lines. Make connections with people. Laugh at it together. You know, try to make the best out of it, and you might make a new friend.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, she was so happy. She was so happy to have someone to talk to. It was lovely.
I don't want to step on that. I just want to appreciate that. And it sounds to me there's not a lot of dramatic stories. I mean, maybe there are more that I haven't heard of, but there's many, many stories where hope just kind of sounds a lot like kindness.
Yeah. That was one of my points with kind of what can we do you know, to help ourselves maybe harness a sense of hope, and it's really like leaning into kindness and thoughts of, you know, random acts of kindness. And I know, you know, the news has been full of some really difficult information for the last, you know, year, and we're tuning in probably more than we're used to, but also, you know, hearing all of the different random acts of kindness that, you know, everyday people are engaging in, you know, at the grocery store, or even, you know, the banging of the pots that was happening earlier on to thank our frontline workers, and, you know, those little things, or writing letters to to individuals in long-term care homes, right? So I think that's, yeah, a really, really powerful way to kind of be able to see hope, right? Those very small acts that have very kind of loud impacts, right, on our hearts.
This has been a great talk, and thank you everyone for sharing everything that you have. Our final question for you is if there's anything that you would like to add that we haven't touched on yet.
I had one quick piece, and Alma kind of spoke about it earlier, but it's that idea that, you know, hope isn't this commodity in the world that we're going to run out of, right? It's not like we have to worry about it kind of going away and then there won't be enough for everybody. It's that, you know, hope is out there. So if you have hope to share it, right? Reach out to those around you, not only your own community, but also the people that you're interacting with out in the community. So it could be the person in line with you, or maybe even, you know, the person delivering your package that day or anything like that, right? To spread the hope you have, and to know, you know, if you are struggling and you are feeling hopeless, to reach out, right? Because there is hope to be given, and there are people there to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. I would go on the same tone with that one. Hope, even though we can't define it, is real. And I think we need to embrace that. I think we need to cultivate it. I think for me, one of the quickest ways to kill hope is to watch the news. And media is important, and I believe we need to be informed, but I think we need to put limits on it too. And I've been loving, I can't remember his name right now, but he is the actor of some sort. He did that show with his kids called Some Good News. And literally, he made his own TV show out of his living room and met all these other celebrities. And it was just fun to watch because seeing other people's victories and hearing their good stories and seeing their pictures, it just generates hope. So share the good things. Share the good things.
Hope doesn't exist in a bubble or in a vacuum. Hope is other people. Hope is reaching out and connecting. That's why I chose my career, right? And I'm sure Ariel would say the same. And Elma is definitely the best part of a lot of my days. And she's a great person to answer the phone. And if anybody's listening and they need to reach out, they could just talk to Elma and that'd probably be great. But they could also book an appointment at Dalton Gleap and we'd be glad to help you however you need.
Thanks, Brad. And you cleaned my car, so hey, yay.
So, that is true.
Well, on behalf of Distress and Crisis Ontario and the podcast, I'd like to thank all three of you for being willing to do this for us and having this conversation, and thank you, Brenda, for being an excellent co-host. This has been great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, ladies.
We would like to remind anyone listening that there are always ways to reach out to find hope. If you need to connect with someone, our distress centers have someone available 24/7, and you can find a list of locations on our website, which is dcontario.org. For text message support, please text the word SUPPORT to 258258, and someone will be more than happy to help you through whatever challenge you're facing.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forms podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forums series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distressandcrisisontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only, and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.